May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 305. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. Hymn 305.
Thank you. Let us read from Isaiah chapter 54. Then we'll turn back and read a few verses from the 41st chapter. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor forsake thee. For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waste to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall arise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We turn back now to the 41st chapter. Read just a few verses, commencing at the 10th. Verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We'll leave the reading there. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant prayer. O Lord, thy Spirit's aid we crave, and now we come to the time of public prayer. May we realize that indicting within, that blessed prompting, as we would make our petitions known unto thee. O grant us reverence, a godly fear. O may it pervade the sanctuary. May thy grace be poured out upon us, hearers and speaker alike, as we gather around the mercy seat. Thou hast proclaimed from above the mercy seat, there will I commune with thee. Lord, we pray, oh, even this day, this thy holy day, there may be those communications from heaven, that thy word may reach right into our hearts, applied so by thy Spirit. Thus, may we worship in spirit and in truth. Pray for that needed grace to confess our sins. There can be no profit in hiding them. And yet, naturally, Lord, oh, it is with man to hide those transgressions. Lord, may we come before thee with that weeping, with that supplication, lay bare the very concerns of our souls. Oh, forgive us, we pray, where we go amiss, and so frequently we do go amiss. Lord, we have to say at times with the psalmist, my soul breaketh, burdened, grieved, and yet there is that longing for thy commandments. Lord, look upon us now. We gather at thy command. We forsake not the means of grace. We do not say it by way of merit, but have to say with David, who am I? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? We pray as thou hast brought us together, even at this time. Oh, that there may be, Lord, an hearing of thy word, that one may be blessed with that dipping of the feet in oil, and be made acceptable unto the brethren. Oh, may our hearts be knit together as we worship in thy courts. We pray, O Lord, that thy word may thus have free course and be glorified. Thy blessing might be poured out upon this company. Open thou the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough even to receive it. Oh, help us to return thanks for the multitude of thy mercies. Lord, may we perceive in them again and again thy goodness, and being able to say, under a sense of that undeserved favour, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, grant us grace to submit all thou dost see, art pleased to lay upon us. O, grant us that supple spirit, that we may not rebel nor repine, but be enabled to see that good hand and feel it, even that good hand of thy grace upon us. And so we beseech thee, uphold us with thy free spirit. Hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not. Bless this little company. Favoured they are, O Lord, to gather again together on these occasions, on thy day, to witness that there is that within their hearts that desires those better things. And whilst, Lord, those without may look upon them with scorn, deride their chapel going, their attendance thus upon the means of grace. Oh, may they, Lord, be blessed with that meat, that rich provision, which the world knoweth nothing of. So grant, we pray, from time to time, that heavenly manna, that sip from the well of Bethlehem. Oh, remember such that long and yearn for those blessings of the gospel. Those who feel themselves so bad, so corrupt, that they can scarce align themselves with those that fear God. Lord, we pray, oh, that their eyes may be directed to the friend of sinners, that they might behold one who came to redeem and ransom their souls, pay that penalty price, and receive them as those objects of his everlasting love. Oh, may the gospel be proclaimed, the trumpet blown with no uncertain sound. May ears be opened to hearken unto those good things. Lord, we thank thee for the gospel, free and sovereign grace. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for thine unspeakable gift, the rich provision of thy dearly beloved Son, the work of redemption, of salvation. O Lord, we thank thee if thou hast wrought upon us and in us now. We thank thee, Lord, for thy restraining grace. We thank thee for thy preserving grace. We thank thee for thine upholding grace. Lord, we thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies, and pray, oh, that thou wouldst guide us by thy counsel, and afterward receive the glory. Lord, we ask where there are those special cases, that thou wouldst meet them even this time, whilst we know nothing concerning those cares and concerns of any before us. Lord, thou knowest them all together. And we would ask, Lord, oh, that it might be such a day, oh, the day which the Lord hath made, in which we shall rejoice and be glad. Oh, sanctify life's disappointments, we pray, the sorrows, the losses, and the crosses, and to give that grace, Lord, to press on still, to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Bless younger friends, we pray. O Lord, remember the little ones, those that are fast growing up around us. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wouldst lay early in their heart that good thing toward thee, the God of Israel. Preserve them, Lord, from the evils that abound, from the enticements, maybe of their companions, that fear and have no knowledge of God before their eyes. Oh, Lord, we bear these before thee. Pray thou would cause that constraint to be laid upon them, even a hidden constraint that preserves them and go into those lengths of sin. We pray, Lord, for each that hold office and bear responsibilities, they in the house of God, in the sanctuaries. Lord, we pray for each member of the church and the congregation. We pray, O Lord, thy blessing to rest upon those that bear great responsibilities in time things. in thy providence thou hast placed them, in this place and that place. Oh, may they show forth whose they are and whom they serve. Do, Lord, remember aged friends, we pray, and as they feel the mud wall cottage shake, oh, support them, Lord, we beg of thee, in these their latter days, and may they feel that underneath are those everlasting arms of love and mercy. Remember afflicted friends, we pray, many whom thou lovest are sick. O Lord, if it be thy holy mind and will, may these sicknesses prove not to be for death, but for the glory of God. And shall it not be so, Lord, in the matters that abound today, in those callings, but also, Lord, oh, doth it not apply to that blessing yet that awaiteth they that have been called by thy grace, even to that inheritance incorruptible above? Oh, may we be prepared. Let us not be mistaken. Leave us not to presumption. Oh, gracious God, may it be an exercise with us each. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hear prayer, Lord, for the churches. Hear prayer, Lord, for the gatherings, ere thy truth is faithfully proclaimed up and down this land and in other lands. Bless thy true sent servants, we pray, as they would minister the word of God in much feeling sense of weakness and insufficiency. Be thou their helper. And oh, we ask, Lord, that many yet may be converted, turned around, caused to confess thee, yea, in with their lips as from the heart, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Lord, we pray, thou wouldst raise up yet those that shall worship together, Lord, in various places, where'er it might please thee, under whatever label, denominational label it might please thee. Oh, gracious God, grant that there may be those faithful ones that shall gather together in thy name to worship thy great and holy name. And do thou lengthen out thy mercies toward us as a nation. Oh, may there be that realized even such that are the salt of the earth, preserving even in these days of much wickedness and abominations practiced. Oh, have mercy, we pray. Stay the plague which infiltrates throughout the land from within and without. Gracious God, keep us watchful. Give us the grace of discernment. Oh, enable us to detect that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit. May we cleave, oh Lord Jesus, unto thee, as Ruth clave unto Naomi. Oh, may, Lord, there be that cleaving unto thee. And oh, we ought to further ask as we venture thus before thee, that thou, the heavenly Boaz, would even this day bid us come and dine. Oh, Lord, is this we desire, our souls to be fed with that living bread. Come and dine. Lord Jesus, thou didst so invite thy disciples upon the seashores of Galilee. So remember us now. Around thy word we pray thee. May all that is amiss be removed. May thy blessing rest upon us, that unction of the Holy One. We beg it, we plead for it, in the precious name, and in the for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 925. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. The church's everlasting head o'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
Thank you. seeking the help of the Lord, the grace of dependence upon him, we venture to the words you will find in Isaiah chapter 54, reading from the fourth verse. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. This chapter contains many an exceeding great and precious promise from the Lord. Much encouragement to those that are fearful, much afraid, and especially so they who feel themselves so full of confusion, so utterly destitute at times, even of that good desire, feeling themselves wretched and undone. One's thoughts have gone to the prayer of Daniel. Confusion belongeth unto us, but unto God belongeth righteousness and mercies. Daniel confessed his own personal sins. These he felt keenly, nor was he without knowledge of those church sins and of the sins of the fathers, they that had gone before. And this brought forth from his very heart a groaning before Almighty God. How thankful we would be. The Lord understands those groans, those cries. And the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For often we know not how to pray or what to pray for aright. We feel ashamed of ourselves. We feel confused, perplexed oftentimes over many things, and not least subject to a conflict within that leaveth its mark so frequently and can but be expressed as being a burden, a great burden unto the living soul in Zion. Confusion belongeth unto us, but unto God belongeth righteousness and mercies.
we have before us an exceedingly encouraging portion of Holy Writ. The prophet had before been speaking of the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his sufferings, prophecy which was fully fulfilled when the Lord of life and glory entered into Gethsemane, and from Gethsemane to the judgment hall, and from thence to Calvary. The prophet relates of that concerning the eternal Son of God, who took a body like our own, yet without sin, and suffered much, beyond anything that any mortal man can ever express. Suffered much, not for himself, but for his people. Wondrous grace. Wondrous grace. He came to pay that penalty price, that which was demanded by justice, in that way devised by the eternal three ere time began, to pay that which was required that he might take to himself that people whom God thus formed for himself to show forth his praise. The prophet speaks concerning that path through which the Lord of life and glory passed, even to Calvary. And here we have the hope of the Israel of God, the finished work, that complete work, nothing to be added, or anything to be taken from it. Everything provided for the salvation of his people. We would bless God for Calvary and for the finished work of salvation, so blessedly wrought out by his dearly beloved Son. Having spoken thus, as concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings, he turns now to speak to this people for whom he came, the Church of the Living God. And we trace in the opening portion of this most encouraging chapter of Holy Writ, we trace there the condition that prevailed in that day. The Church of God was in an exceedingly low place. It was likened unto such that a barren that did not bear. This is well known in Scripture. Such was considered a reproach. Now, such was her condition. And to the outward view, it would appear that soon all was to come to nothing. They were dark days, likened unto our own days of much departure. A few faithful souls that still lived to proclaim of the mercy of God and to trust with that aid afforded them in Israel's God. But for the most part, there was that falling away. And it seemed as if despair, yea, even confusion, shame, laid upon those faithful few. Now, these are addressed. They are encouraged. They are caused to consider how that the Lord, though withdrawn, as it would appear, at the present time, yet had those intents of mercy, and yet would turn again unto his people and deliver them from their oppressors. The thoughts go to that time in Babylon. How can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? Here they are bidden, yea, these in such a condition, to sing, oh, to make mention of their God. Though he be silent, yet there is that proclaimed of his coming again, of that cessation of captivity, of those times of rich blessing. And so they were bidden to enlarge the place of their tents, to stretch forth the curtains of their habitations. For 'tis said, they shall break forth on the right hand and on the left. Their seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, couched in those depths, surely we see, oh, how the Lord purposed even that deliverance under Cyrus. We see further how there was that intent of mercy in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that holy human frame, a body like our own, yet without sin. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. This people, comes like this, this people would have hung, as it were, upon the promises given to Abraham, confirmed to Isaac and Jacob. And though they were the subjects of much ridicule and contempt, bearing these tribulations of the path, yet they were bidden to remember that there was that yet in store, the fulfillment of those precious promises concerning that inheritance even in Canaan. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. He went forth not knowing whither he went. But unto Canaan we read, he came. Fear not, we speak to such that are subject to these fears, who feel much shame and confusion besetting them, even as they attempt to worship God. Much within, so much that militates against that work of God's grace. Is it not so? Oh, doth it not such a condition prevail even today? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within thee? Hope thou in God, for thou shalt yet praise him. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. These are encouraging words. If I might even here speak personally for a small moment, I tremble as oft I do, as concerning the solemn, sacred service of the great and holy God, to open the lips, these sinful lips, and speak in his great and holy name is no small thing, I can assure you. And under such oppression, many fears arise. Many fears arise. But how kind, how soft the words the Saviour speaks. How kind the promises he makes. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. It may be the Lord alone knoweth, amongst this company, on this the Lord's holy day, there may be some who very fearfully, tremblingly, having some great burden upon their spirit, have entered the courts of the Lord and are at this time, even at this moment, waiting upon the Lord for some word from himself. What said the psalmist? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Such may have laid the matter before the Lord, bared their breast, as it were, in the secrecy of their rooms, and sought to commit these cares, these great things, whatever they may be, into his gracious hands. They fear they shall be brought to confusion. They fear they shall be shamed.
If they open their mouths, those fears arise. If they keep silent, likewise, those tremblings abound. Oh, is this the word of God's grace? Unto such, fear thou not, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Encouraging the lines of the hymn writer. 10,000 baits the foe prepares to catch the wandering heart, and seldom do we see the snares before we feel the smart. The world opposes from without, and unbelief within. We fear, we faint, we grieve, we doubt, and feel the load of sin. Though we are feeble, Christ is strong. His promises are true. Fear thou not, for thou shalt not be put to shame. I think of Noah. What wickedness abounded. And that dear man of God, he was instructed to build that ark upon dry land, far, far removed from the seashore. What ridicule must have been his lot. What disdain and derision with those sons of men looked upon this man of God as he obeyed the voice of his God. I see, amongst other things, that being the lot of they who against all opposition and ridicule seek to worship the true and living God and obey his voice. What may be commanded is often so opposite to what nature might expect or even would hope for. But Noah obeyed. He looked towards those things that could not be seen by the mortal eye. And he went forth obeying the word of his God. He saw the danger. It was revealed unto him. Oh, may we tarry a moment and ask the question. How thankful we would be to see a goodly number of young friends in the house of God. Oh, consider. Life is but like a brittle thread. Soon t'will be over. It is a vapor. I can remember years ago looking at our two young daughters then as they blowed bubbles. Saw some rise, others they fell to the ground. Oh, some rise to life eternal, some fall to death, eternal death. Maybe your great concern
in early life to seek those blessings that are above. Mary chose that good part. Christ to her was the one thing needful. Needful in every respect. And so he is to the believer. Fear not then the scorn of man, the companions with which you have to consort. Oh, remember, thou God seest me. Fear thou not. Fear thou not. Oh, this we are assured, that such who by the grace of God choose those old paths, and by further his grace walk in them, these shall live to rejoice at last. Fear thou not, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Tribulation shall attend the path, it must inevitably. Through much tribulation ye shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But fear thou not, thou shalt not be put to shame. Thou shalt not be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. We come now, Lord, speak a little of the inward exercises of the child of God. They're not, as we have hinted, without these fears. And at times they can rise up as great mountains before them in the path. The Lord honoured Noah. The Lord honoured David. I will go in the strength of the Lord and make mention of his righteousness alone. Fear thou not. Now, having spoken of the sufferings of Christ, having spoken of that redemption through blood, the prophet turns to the church and encourages them in that day as concerning the blessings that flow through Christ unto the church militant here below. Fear thou not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Satan is a subtle foe. Can I express it like this? I come to you with a burden as this. I fear. I trust, I can say. I trust it's not presumption. That there have been a few occasions when speaking in this place, we have felt much of the mercy of God toward us. To come again. Oh, perhaps some understanding. To come again with such feeling of emptiness, of poverty, of lameness, yea, of ignorance, that and those fears rise mightily before our eyes. Oh, how shall it be? And then there's this. I say it to my shame. Some will understand it. Oh, the adversary will come in, even like a subtle serpent, with his suggestions. They expect much, you'll say. But what can you give them? Oh, what can you speak? A wretch as you, worthy undone. And so he plagues as ever he hath, they that fear the Lord. But perhaps after a little season, maybe long, maybe short, the Lord is a sovereign. He cometh. What do these things cause? Even a cleaving closer unto Christ. Even that plea, God be merciful to me, a sinner. A cry from the heart, all felt insufficiency and inability for grace and more grace. And bless God, Scripture records how that he giveth more grace. Fear thou not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. It's not in the creature. Oh, this is the end of the Spirit's teaching, the purpose of it, that sinners might realize their only hope lieth in the rich provision of the eternal Father's eternal Son, that provision in Christ Jesus, that fullness which ever abides to answer our needs. Thus the prophet goeth, as it were, from the sufferings of Christ from Calvary and speaks of the blessings that flow to the church through that one sacrifice offered upon that tree at Calvary. For a small moment, saith he, have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Fear thou not, my kindness. The mountain shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on me. Fear thou not. The ground of these exceeding great and precious promises lieth in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, in that covenant love and covenant mercy of the eternal three, as 'twas determined that these should be brought safely at last to that haven of eternal rest. Fear thou not. Now it may be some today fear much. Sin, oh sin, is felt to be such a burden. And fears arise, and unbelief. And these fears find a very fertile ground, do they not? In this unbelief. And they shoot up. Yea, and they, as it were, blossom. It needs grace to resist, and that grace alone can come from above amongst those good and perfect gifts. 'Tis through Christ's sacrifice oft we have, and I would hope continually we have to revert, oh, to the precious blood shed upon Calvary's tree. Fear thou not. We're born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity. Our first fathers enjoyed a period, we know not how long, where they knew communion with God face to face. But sin entered, and death by sin. Prayer. Then, oh then, they were conscious of their shame, their nakedness, before the all-seeing eye of Almighty God, conscious of their shame. They went and hid themselves. Hid themselves, as they thought, from their Maker. fallen creatures, and we, oh we, of Adam and Eve, fallen creatures, full of shame and confusion. Let us turn from the Garden of Eden. Let us turn the eyes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Let us behold the Lord of life and glory. Oh, see him who bore the shame. He who was put to shame. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down now at the right hand of the Father in glory, when shame, confusion belongeth unto us. But, oh, we see here how the sinner is made complete in Christ. Their shame is removed. A righteousness, a robe wrought out to cover their shame. And lest a shadow of a spot on their soul to be found, he took the robe, the Saviour wrought, and cast it all around. Yea, we think, thus speaking of the prodigal, who'd gone to seek his fill, riotous living, brought into want. Oh, natural reasoning would suppose that such should be cut off, yea, even as those converts of the great. These are the fears that arise, and of the consciousness of those heart departures. May not be open sin in that way, it may be, but, oh, the Lord, the Spirit of God, he opens up the wound, reveals the inner recesses of the heart, makes known unto such the evils in that measure that lie within, their nakedness, their wretchedness, and their shame. Now behold, behold Gethsemane, Christ bore their shame, he bore their iniquity, all that was due, that penalty price he paid. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now these in Christ, they receive the promises of the gospel. Fear thou not. What fear, oh what fear would arise if we had but to look to ourselves. If our eyes were open to see the malady and to feel it, yea, even to confess it. Were there no remedy? Were there no provision? Friends, it would be despair. Utter despair. Some are brought nigh, even to that spot. Others are taught tenderly, and their hearts are open to receive the word. Here a little, there a little, line by line, precept by precept. But all to this one purpose. To cause such to feel their need of Christ. The word, the ground is prepared. Deep furrows indeed at times. We read as concerning the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the furrows, oh, they were deep upon his back in their measure. Zion knoweth something of it. Sharp instruments, burrowing deep in their experience. Friends, the ground is prepared. And we have to confess, oh, there's that necessity for that ground to be prepared. When it is, oh, then the Lord, having withdrawn for a season, he now, as such, confess their sins, their shame, their nakedness, their wretchedness. They come to the footstool of mercy, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. There they confess. expecting judgment. And then how sweet, how precious, how soul comforting these various exercises and concerns is the word of God into their souls. And such a word we have here, fear thou not. What is it, friend? The Lord alone knoweth. Some responsibility, some care. You know not whether go this way, that way. Maybe there is a way opened, but you tremblingly stand upon the threshold. You know not how to put your foot, as it were, over that step. How shall I know? You fear shame. You fear reproach. Yet, the word of the Lord, that standeth sure. 'Tis not like the writing upon the sand. 'Tis not obliterated by the incoming tide. The word of the Lord is sure, and it endureth forever. And what saith he? O fellow fearful traveller, in this journey, we trust heavenward, brought into that way. I say, fearful fellow traveller, what saith the Lord? He spake like, and spake like never man spake. Fear thou, Lord. Personal word. I say again, I know not what it may be. What burden lies before you? What care? What step is to be taken? What mountain there is to scale? The Lord is thy refuge, a present help in the time of trouble. Said he, yea, as he came to that time of his sufferings, though ye now therefore have sorrow, I will see you again. And your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Fear ye not. Fear not, little flock. Maybe a church matter. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. It may be, as concerning the family. Fear thou not. Thou, perhaps a word to be spoken. Times and occasions arise when 'tis needful. It is no small thing to speak so to those near and dear unto us by the ties of nature. Fear thou not. Thou shalt not be ashamed. Thou shalt not be put to shame. Not be confounded. Word in season. We know not what effect it might have. Fear thou not. It may be, yea, church matters, difficult matters, they arise sadly, sadly, they do arise. For those faithful ones, those stalwarts, they who draw their strength from their God as they go forward to speak a word in season. Fear thou not, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Then, as we come to the close, just a fleeting thought. Fear thou not. Thou shalt not be put to shame. That time. Yea, of departure from time to eternity. Friend, if we have Christ, we have all. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. May the Lord forgive all of this.
Collections last Lord's Day were £687, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. James Pack will preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And we expect Mr. Timothy Parrish next Lord's Day, who hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.